Welcome to today's edition of Bob's Radio Journal Podcast.
Hi, folks. How are you? This is Bob Anderson coming to you from the beautiful Laurel Highlands here in Pennsylvania. You are connected to Bob's Radio Journal Podcast, bringing you clean, uplifting entertainment, news, and talk. I've gathered a few thoughts for Veterans Day that I'd like to share with you. John Glenn said, "This should make you think a little." There were 39 combat-related killings in Iraq in January. In the fair city of Detroit, there were 35 murders in the month of January. That's just one American city, about as deadly as the entire war-torn country of Iraq. When some claim that President Bush shouldn't have started this war, state the following. FDR led us into World War II. Germany never attacked us. Japan did. From 1941 to 1945, 450,000 lives were lost, an average of 112,500 per year. Truman finished that war and started one in Korea. North Korea never attacked us. From 1950 to 1953, 55,000 lives were lost, an average of 18,334 per year. John F. Kennedy started the Vietnam conflict in 1962. Vietnam never attacked us. Johnson, however, turned the Vietnam War into a quagmire. From 1965 to 1975, 58,000 lives were lost, an average of 5,800 per year. Clinton went to war in Bosnia without UN or French consent. Bosnia never attacked us. He was offered Osama bin Laden's head on a platter 3 times by Sudan and did nothing. Osama has attacked us on multiple occasions. In the years since terrorists attacked us, President Bush has liberated 2 countries, crushed the Taliban, crippled Al-Qaeda, put nuclear inspectors in Libya, Iran, and North Korea. The Democrats are complaining about how long the war is taking. But wait. It took less time to take Iraq than it took Janet Reno to take the Branch Davidian compound. That was a 51-day operation. We've been looking for evidence for chemical weapons in Iraq for less time than it took Hillary Clinton to find the Rose Law Firm billing records. It took less time for the 3rd Infantry Division and the Marines to destroy the Medina Republican Guard than it took Ted Kennedy to call the police after his Oldsmobile sank at Chappaquiddick. It took less time to take Iraq than it took to count the votes in Florida. The military morale is high. The biased media hopes we are too ignorant to realize the facts, but wait, there's more. Listen now to John Glenn on the Senate floor, January 26, 2004. Some people still don't understand why military personnel do what they do for a living. This exchange between Senators John Glenn and Senator Howard Metzenbaum is worth hearing. Not only is it a pretty impressive impromptu speech, but it's also a good example of one man's explanation of why men and women in the armed forces do what they do for a living. This is a typical, though sad, example of what some who have never served think of the military. Senator Metzenbaum, speaking to Senator Glenn. How can you run for Senate when you've never held a real job? Senator Glenn, Democrat from Ohio. I served 23 years in the United States Marine Corps. I served through 2 wars. I flew 49 missions. My plane was hit by anti-aircraft fire on 12 different occasions. I was in the space program. It wasn't my checkbook, Howard. It was my life on the line. It was not a 9-to-5 job, where I took time off to take the daily cash receipts to the bank. I ask you to go with me, as I went the other day, to a veterans hospital and look at those men with their mangled bodies in the eye and tell them they didn't hold a job. You go with me to the space program at NASA and go as I have gone to the widows and orphans of Ed White, Gus Grissom, and Roger Chaffee. And you look those kids in the eye and tell them that their dads didn't hold a job. You go with me on Memorial Day and you stand in Arlington National Cemetery, where I have more friends buried than I'd like to remember, and you watch those waving flags. You stand there and you think about this nation, and you tell me that those people didn't have a job. What about you? For those who don't remember, during World War II, Howard Metzenbaum was an attorney representing the Communist Party in the United States of America. Now he's a senator. If you can understand this, thank a teacher. If you are hearing it in English, thank a veteran. I also saw a very nice article written by Erica Anderson, no relation, entitled Happy Birthday Marines. Tomorrow, November 10th, is the 232nd birthday of the United States Marine Corps. The Marines can be a mystery to those who haven't been raised in the military culture. We know from our history books that they are an elite group, something different from other soldiers, but what really makes them different? In celebration of the Marines, Human Events ask a few Marines to describe the differences in their own words. I felt proud just speaking with Colonel H.C. Barney Barnum, Jr., a retired Marine, now Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Navy. Colonel Barnum received the Congressional Medal of Honor for valor in combat in Vietnam. He sounded just as I suspected an older Marine would. Direct, convinced, and matter of fact. Once a Marine, always a Marine, he said. You earn the title. You join the Army, you join the Air Force, you join the Navy, but you earn the title of United States Marine. Barnum has been deployed around the world. He likens the Marines to a band of brothers that take care of each other, no matter the circumstances. Of the Marines I've met, most were drawn to the Corps as children by the influence of a parent or in response to the awe-inspiring Marine that crossed their path. None doubted they would select the Marines over another branch of service. For Brigadier General Thomas V. Derard, the calling came about the age of 3 when he spotted a uniformed man. Derard's father, a German immigrant, he describes as very patriotic, told him, "This man is a Marine, and that is the best there is." Derard carried the endorsement in his mind for years and said as he learned more about the Marines, it enforced his belief that he would not be happy until he became a Marine. "The proudest day of my life was the day I was sworn in as a Marine," he said. "It seems much the same for many." Colonel Barnum was hooked on Career Day his senior year of high school. As each of the military services presented their case, the students made a racket. But the only service recruiter who demanded respect was the Marine. The Navy got up, the Air Force got up, and Army guys got up, and the students hooted and hollered. And then this Marine gunny got up and said, "There's no one in this room that I want to be in my Marine Corps. You're unmotivated and undisciplined," said Barnum. Then he began to chew out the faculty for not taking control of the students. Well, I figured that's the type of guy I wanted to be. That was 1958, and the Marine Corps prides itself on values unchanged over the years. Honor, courage, and commitment are the fundamental principles of the Corps, and today's Marines serve with the same valor as those from 2 centuries ago. 25-year-old Sergeant Nicholas D. Morrison served in Fallujah, Iraq, 2005 to 2006. Morrison said he chose the Marines for the challenge and honor of serving with the best. He called the Marines the United States 911 Force because they have been throughout our history the force that goes into action first in almost every crisis. They are first in on the front lines and often suffer the most casualties. Morrison said the situation in Iraq is often not as the media portrays it. "I can't tell you how many Iraqis came to me to thank us for ridding the country of Saddam Hussein, probably 90%, he said, adding that the media fails to produce stories of the progress being made, such as the schools, bridges, and medical facility his unit built in Fallujah. Colonel Barnum dislikes the media deplorable coverage of the war, saying reporters will look until they find something that's going to be detrimental and mention it. Barnum visited with Marines in Iraq earlier this year. I went to thank them, first of all, as a grateful American, and second of all, as a fellow Marine combat warrior, and let them know we're proud of what they're doing, he said. Barnum added that the morale of the troops he spoke with was very high. Although all three men are no longer on active duty, each conveyed that being a Marine will forever remain a part of their identity. Morrison maintained that a Marine that is out of service is called a former Marine, never an ex-Marine. Marine will be part of your biography, your resume, your obituary, said Durard, who noted that the war on terror has a place for all of us, and a Marine's ability to react, deploy quickly, be in a constant state of readiness to adapt and adjust, sets them apart. Marines never give up on the mission, nor do they give up their people, said Duard. One of our hallmarks is, you never leave a dead or wounded Marine behind. It truly is that band of brothers that is so special. Barnum said much the same thing. Marines can always count on the Marine on their left and on their right, and the one in front of them and the one behind them. So they train that way, and when they have to execute a mission, they can rely on that Marine team. These men gave voice to the fierce pride and undying loyalty to the Corps, qualities that have remained cornerstone in defining a Marine for more than two centuries. On the 232nd anniversary of this extraordinary service, American Marines around the globe continue to live by their creed of honor, courage, and commitment in the War on Terror and in their daily lives. We pride ourselves on the battles we have both won and lost, and remember those who have fought before us, said Morrison. I feel that many of the skills and morals I have learned in the Marines carry over into civilian life, and my service is still needed. Happy birthday, Marines. As hard as it is, I also want to share with you an article entitled Trial Set for Haditha Vet Targeted by MRTHA. He is being tried for not investigating a crime we now know never occurred. This is found in WorldNet Daily, Friday, November 9, 2007. A trial tentatively has been scheduled April 28 for a Marine veteran who served in Iraq and was charged with failing to investigate a crime after anti-war Congressman John MRTHA publicly accused his team of Marines of covering up an incident in which civilians were allegedly killed in cold blood. The Marines defended themselves from hostile fire as they were trained and authorized. That Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Chesney must now face a trial for their actions is both tragic and absurd, said Richard Thompson, president and counsel of the Thomas More Law Center. He is being tried for not investigating a crime that we now know never occurred, Thompson said. Chesney is accused of failing to investigate and accurately report on an incident that happened in Haditha, Iraq, on November 19, 2005, and has been dubbed by critics as the Haditha Massacre. If convicted, the 20-year veteran of three tours of duty in Iraq, as well as additional tours in Panama and the Persian Gulf War, will be dismissed from the Marines, lose his retirement, and face 2.5 years in jail, his lawyer said. The Thomas More lawyers are representing Chesney, along with the military attorneys appointed for his defense. Our own government has handed the insurgents a victory by removing one of our most effective combat leaders from the battle, Thompson said. This investigation has imperiled the lives of our troops who, in making split-second decisions whether to defend themselves, now have to consider that lawyers with the benefit of 20/20 hindsight will examine their actions under a legal microscope. The counts against Chesney came after, and reportedly were incited by, an inflammatory Time magazine headline accusing Marines of massacring innocent civilians. The Thomas More Center said the story was planted by known terrorist propaganda operatives and has been discredited. But anti-war U.S. Representative John MRTHA, Democrat, Pennsylvania, in an unprecedented move, followed the Time story with public accusations against Marine officers of covering up a massacre and against enlisted Marines of killing civilians in cold blood. Two separate investigations by U.S. Army officers, a colonel and a general, found no evidence either of a massacre or a cover-up. In addition, a later Article 32 investigation by Marine Investigation Officer Lieutenant Colonel Ware also found no evidence of a massacre or a cover-up. The charges stem from the actions of four Marines who came under fire from a coordinated al-Qaeda-led ambush in Haditha. It was not long after 7 a.m. when an improvised explosive device exploded under one of the four Humvees, killing one Marine and injuring two others. Simultaneously, the Marines came under gunfire from nearby homes, and the four-man Marine fire team was ordered to clear the houses of insurgents, and the resulting house-to-house firefight left 15 civilians dead. Murtha, however, has continued to stand by his accusation. He was confronted just 2 weeks ago by a young activist near a Capitol Hill elevator and was pressed on whether he would apologize for accusing U.S. Marines of murdering innocent civilians. Jason Matera of the Young Americans Foundation was captured on tape questioning Murtha, so reported HotAir.com. Now that charges have been dropped against two of the four Marines accused of murder, Matera asked, would you like to issue an apology for saying they killed innocent civilians in cold blood? Is the trial still going on? Murtha asked repeatedly as he made his way to the elevator. After entering, the lawmaker made sure that Matera stayed out of the elevator. Do you like besmirching our troops, sir? Matera asked. Have you been in the service? Murtha retorted. I enlisted in Korea, and I enlisted in Vietnam. As the doors closed, Matera is heard saying, you accuse them of murdering innocent civilians in cold blood. That's something that would have come from Al Jazeera, not a congressman, sir. But charges against two of the four men accused of murder in the case have been dropped by the Marines, and an investigating officer has recommended dropping charges against a third. Chesney's career has been unblemished, the Thomas More Center said. In fact, as battalion commander of the 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines, one of the most decorated units in the Marine Corps, Chesney was not at the scene of the firefight, but later traveled there to investigate and reported to every echelon of his chain of command. For the following 3 months, not a single superior officer suspected a law of war violation, and Chesney was commended on a job well done. However, when the Time magazine article appeared and Murtha lodged his accusations, Chesney was targeted, the Law Center said, despite his 2006 combat fitness report declaring him to be a superb leader who knows his men, knows the enemy, knows his business.
That's this week on Bob's Radio Journal. Thanks for listening.